Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you so much for coming. I'm going to be talking to you today about a project that I did last year as part of my MPH in Ethiopia. I worked with an organization called SCOPE, and I'll talk to you a little bit more about what that is. But I actually graduated in June this year from the UW School of Public Health, and now I'm currently living in Ethiopia working in health communications with the CDC in Ethiopia. I'd like to just let you know that I don't have any commercial or financial interests in this presentation or in this project. So, a little bit of background about why I was looking at the linking faith communities with medical communities. So, SCOPE stands for Strengthening Care Opportunities in Ethiopia. I actually started this project as a fellow, and then now I'm actually a board member with this organization. It's a partnership between the UW School of Public Health, the University of Gondar in Ethiopia, the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, and also the University Presbyterian Church in Seattle. And how SCOPE works is that they're really looking at the best ways to link medical and religious communities to improve outcomes for HIV/AIDS in Ethiopia. And the way that we work traditionally is through outreach, education, training, especially sending fellows, and first fellows went with SCOPE to Ethiopia in about 2009. So the work that I'm doing is building upon work that's been done by previous fellows. It's not just new research that's being done. and to date, SCOPE has accomplished several different projects, including they conducted a large voluntary counseling testing campaign with the North Gondar Diocese. You can see a picture here of this is the Archbishop right in the middle of the Gondar area, and that's our project director in the middle, Nancy, some of the senior staff. And with the help of the church, they tested about 850 people in a period of 3 days at the diocese, and because they have such a large amount of influence in the community. SCOPE has also done things like conducting landscape analyses in the community, trying to understand how to best work with the church, and my work is just really building on that. So where we work is in this place called Gondar, Ethiopia. Gondar is the third largest city in Ethiopia. It's also the name of a larger kind of area in that it's called a zone. So the way that Ethiopia is administered is you have the federal government, you have nine regions in the country, and then underneath that you have zones, Wereldas, which are districts, and then Gebeles, which are neighborhoods. So kind of similar to the U.S. system of having federal government, states, counties, cities, things like that. Gondar is situated in the Amhara region, and Amhara actually has a markedly higher HIV prevalence than the rest of the country. The government's actually not done any official studies on why this is happening, but there's lots of speculation as to why this is the case, including potentially the fact that it's a large border and business route. It's close to Sudan, so there's a lot of commercial truck drivers, high number of prostitutes, commercial sex workers, pervasive poverty, lots of urban to rural migration. So these could be some of the reasons why there might be a higher prevalence. And historically, another reason why we're working in Gondar is because historically, Gondar has been kind of the epicenter of the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. And for those of you who may not know, the Ethiopian Orthodox Church is indigenous to Ethiopia. It's one of the largest and oldest Christian communities in the world. And there's about 2,200 churches just in this region, this area, and about 42,000 priests compared to about 170 doctors. So you can start to see kind of the imbalance compared to the health professionals and the religious community. So just a little bit of background on why we kind of working in this area. Gondar is 83% Orthodox, so a large majority of the population is Orthodox. In Ethiopia itself, in the country, it's about 43-44%, so still a pretty large share of the population. Ethiopians typically turn to their religion before they ever even go to any kind of health facility. One study showed that about 25% of TB patients turn to religious-related treatments before they ever even went to a clinic. So religion is a large part of the national identity and the culture. It's very pervasive. Religious leaders are highly trusted and respected. What's unique to the Orthodox Church also is something called a soul father. So almost every Orthodox follower has what's called a soul father, which is almost like your personal spiritual leader, who visits your house multiple times a month, who is involved in almost every major celebration or milestone in your life, and that person is almost like your personal therapist or psychiatrist. So they can play a pretty large role in somebody's life. And then this other idea of the traditional use of holy water for cure of illness. I know many people in Ethiopia who take holy water, drink it, or splash it on themselves. I'll show you some pictures of holy water sites. But it's really been a big problem for HIV, where people have been turning to holy water instead of taking their ART medicines, then they've been defaulting and either getting really bad complications or potentially even dying. And other studies have shown that religious leaders in the country might be effective in prevention and control of HIV. So what does a holy water site look like? Well, these are some of the ones I visited in the Gondar area. You can see up in the top left corner, that's about 75 to 80 people who are living actually permanently at the holy water site. A lot of them came from rural areas. Majority are HIV positive, and so they live there, they go to church nearby, and then they go get holy water treatment. And so it's kind of an interesting dynamic, because this is only about maybe 5-10 minutes from the hospital, which is the largest hospital in the country. when you get in the water, and then you get out, a priest kind of, I don't know if you can see that very well, but they'll bless you with a cross once you finish your holy water treatment. So, and then down here you kind of have stalls where people will stand and be splashed with holy water. So it's a fairly large part of the culture and a part of the religion. And then this is just a traditional, typical Ethiopian Orthodox church. This is the one I visited on a holiday, which is a holiday that happens every month. But there was about 10,000 people here, and this is a pretty famous church where the patriarch was recently died, is buried here, and our prime minister just died. He's also buried here. So you can see this is only one side of the church. There's three other sides where this, it's totally packed. The specific aim of this project was really to assess what stakeholders in the community thought how the church should be working on these issues of HIV prevention, care, and treatment. There was also a second aim that I had to my project, but I'm not going to get into, where I conducted a feasibility study of implementing an HIV clinic actually at the diocese. So separate but related projects. My methods, this was a mixed method study, so I used qualitative and quantitative methods, key informant interviews, and also surveys, and extensive literature review documents, and participant observation at many of these like holy water sites, churches, different places around the country. So I'm going to go through some of the major key findings. I had about five major key findings, and I'll just show you kind of each key finding and kind of an accompanying quote that I felt was somewhat representative of what I was trying to say with that finding. Number one is found that the people in the community believe that HIV is more serious than other community problems, which to me was really surprising. I thought people would tell me, oh no, you know, I have a lot of more important problems in the community. There's poverty, there's this, there's that. But no, what I was hearing from people were saying, no, in this region, it's a very high rate of infection. It's infecting like the most productive economically important to the economy group from 18 to 49 years of age. So that was a significant finding. the second finding was that religious leaders can be very influential in public health interventions. People talking about how they could be extremely effective in behavioral change communications, reducing stigma and discrimination in the community, trying to make it more acceptable to get tested and treated, and also being playing a really important role in educating people, as well as potentially playing kind of a psychological care and support role, because a mental health system is almost non-existent in Ethiopia. So people really go to their religious leaders for kind of issues of being depressed or other kinds of mental health issues. So this person was talking about how they could teach that it's not a sin, it's not a curse, they could reduce fear and improve adherence. For a long time, the church was teaching that HIV is, you have got this because you're being sinful, because you're promiscuous, because this. So there's a large amount of stigma that's still around the disease because of a lot of those teachings. But now they're slowly changing, and things are starting to improve. The third finding was that the top two lacking resources that people in the community were talking about were around psychosocial care and support and education. So not talking about we need more clinics, we need more testing sites, we need more treatment. That wasn't what I was hearing. People were saying the real problem is, once somebody is tested, how do they deal with it? How does somebody deal with being kicked out of their house or losing their job because they have HIV in the community, things like that? And then also education. There's still a large number of misconceptions around the disease and how you get it, how it's spread, all kinds of things. So TV nurses I was talking to were talking about how there's awareness, but really the real problems are with this kind of psychosocial care and support piece. And so we think the church might be able to play a really critical role in that area. Fourth finding is that holy water still remains a major barrier to testing and treatment and adherence. Because people might start their treatment and then they'll say, they might talk to their religious leader and then decide, okay, I'm going to go off the treatment for, a month or two. Well, you can't do that with HIV drugs. You have to maintain a certain level of adherence to your regimen. Otherwise, you're going to start introducing drug resistance and complications and infections and things like that. So it's still a major area that needs to be worked on. Actually, Johns Hopkins University is doing a really good job of working on this in Ethiopia as well, so we have some lessons to be learned from them as well. And then the last finding was just that the church can really be a key vehicle for promoting behavioral change and increasing testing and treatment and also reducing stigma in the community. I heard a lot of people keep telling me that, in order to be tested or treated, a lot of times people would go somewhere really far from their house, even up to like 2-3 hours away from the city that they live in order to avoid people in their community seeing them or knowing that they have the disease. So there's still a large number of problems around stigma in the community. So that's something we think the church can really help with. we're actually working on kind of a priest training project next, and this is actually a priest training I attended at the Archbishop's House, the diocese, last July. There's about 45 or 48 priests here. So just to give you a visual of what a priest training might look like, they're from about 11 different churches here. And what they've trained, I think about 1,000 priests up to this point. But like I said, there's 42,000 just in that area. So there's still a large number to be trained, and also it's not very coordinated or consistent, so we're trying to help them with that. So what do these findings mean? What's the implications of research? The implications are just that really the church could be working in a number of ways around partnering with the medical community on education, and we should also be working on capacity building rather than working on direct clinical service through the church. We also found that this means that religious leaders really can have some significant impact in key areas on the HIV epidemic, especially in Gondar, but potentially in other areas of Ethiopia. And this doesn't just go for the Orthodox Church. We're looking at them because they're a majority, but potentially in the future we'd love to work with the Muslim community, Pentecostal is pretty large there, things like that. So it doesn't necessarily mean the findings might be exclusive to this religion. Another implication is that HIV testing and priest training are feasible to work on with the church. And lastly, just the importance of engaging community-based organizations and faith-based organizations in HIV work, particularly in traditional settings such as this one, where you're not going to reach a large majority of the people through hospitals and clinics. You're really going to have to go through different traditional avenues and vehicles. And the next steps for our SCOPE partnership are just currently we're selecting our next fellows for our upcoming project. So I think currently we're selecting three, one for winter, spring, and fall quarters. We're also working on prevention of mother-to-child transmission issues and priest training activities because this is a major focus for the Ethiopian government and also for PEPFAR. It also supports the goal of the World Health Organization to have zero vertical transmissions of HIV from mother to child, meaning vertical, by 2015. And from my work that I'm currently doing in Ethiopia with the CDC and with Tanya International, what I found is that this really could actually be a very achievable goal for Ethiopia. And Ethiopia might be one of the only African countries to actually reach some of the Millennium Development Goals. And then lastly, we started a new partnership with the UW Global Center for Integrated Health of Women, Adolescents, and Children. They have extensive experience working on these issues of PMTCT in Kenya, and so we think it'll be a really great partnership. And I also just want to acknowledge everybody who helped me with this project, everybody that participated in the study, my fellow co-authors and faculty advisors, Chitaye Alamu and Jed Walson of UW and University of Gwinder, our SCOPE project director, and of course the Archbishop of the Church and his staff were extremely helpful in this process, and then our board has been really great too. So thank you, and if you guys are interested in learning more about what we're doing, you can go to our website. You can also contact me. I also have a bunch of brochures up here about the work that we're doing if you'd like to see those. So thank you.